Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So here's a question. A Saudi milestone for the Olympics or a propaganda coup for the Saudi religious establishment? Well, you'll have to decide. After a New York-based Human Rights Watch report released, urged the International Olympic Committee to bar Saudi Arabia from participating in this year's Olympic Games because of its longtime ban on women athletes competing for religious reasons. On Thursday, Saudi Arabia agreed to send women athletes to compete in London, in track, and in judo. The kingdom will only be sending two female athletes, though, one of them an American college athlete born and raised in Escondido, California, to Saudi parents. We reached out to Iman El-Nafjan, a blogger in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, who promotes women's rights in her country. She called this anything but a milestone for women in the Islamic world.
It's not a priority for women activists at all. I have never heard of anyone from the internal activist scene calling for the participation of women, because it's very, very, very low on our priority list, considering all the other issues that we have here. Physical education for girls in the public school system is much more important.
Iman El-Nafjan is referring there to the fact that Saudi women and girls in state schools are prohibited from engaging in physical exercise because of conservative religious strictures. So Olympic competition for women would appear to be something of a token gesture at this point. Ali Al-Ahmed is founder and director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs. He started a campaign called No Women, No Play a little more than 2 years ago, urging the IOC to suspend Saudi Arabia from Olympic competition until it allowed female participation. Ali Al-Ahmed joins us from Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So is this gesture by the Saudi government enough to satisfy you, or is it a token gesture and very low on the priority list, at least according to our friend Iman El-Nafjan?
It's not even a token, really, because it's really trying to escape and circumvent the real demand here. Our demand is to equate Saudi Arabia with the apartheid regime in South Africa. Blacks in South Africa played sports. The South African regime at the time offered black athletes to the Olympics, but it was banned until the blacks received their political rights, until apartheid was dismantled in Saudi Arabia. The status of women, if you compare it with blacks under apartheid, is much worse. Blacks in South African apartheid regime played sports. In Saudi Arabia, women cannot play sports in school or at any level. They cannot vote, they cannot drive, they cannot decide for themselves even to open a business. So here, the Olympic Committee is really siding with the Saudi monarchy in its gender apartheid policy. So now it is the IOC that is discriminating against women in Saudi Arabia and allowing the Saudi monarchy to escape international scrutiny.
Do you share the same criticism for Qatar and for Brunei, who have similar policies?
Well, I want to tell you this something. It's 2009 when I visited the IOC. We published in 2008 the first thing about Qatar, Brunei, and Saudi Arabia, and we sent it to the IOC. I remember very well in April 2009, and we asked them to suspend these three countries until they meet the standards that has been applied. We do have the Olympic Charter that states this very clearly, that the no discrimination is allowed at any level. And we have the precedent of South Africa and Afghanistan, which were expelled from the movement, not only suspended, but expelled totally from the movement until they satisfy those political and also other human rights standards.
We're talking with Ali Al-Ahmed, who's founder and director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs, behind a campaign called No Women, No Play, criticizing Saudi Arabia and some other countries for their practices towards women's rights in the country and also the ability of women to participate in the Olympics and in athletics inside their countries. This is not an Islamic issue. There are places around the world where women's groups and schools in particular are working very, very hard to develop, for instance, clothing and special kinds of tools to allow women to compete in athletics at the Olympic level and satisfy certain religious requirements of dress. This is something that is being done in a very sophisticated way in lots of the Islamic world. Why the Saudis are so behind here?
The reason we have this campaign is actually for this purpose. It's not a religious issue. The wife of the Prophet himself was racing with the Prophet, and that's very known by all Muslims. Other Muslim countries have the very sophisticated athletic programs for girls. For example, if you take Iran, which is another example of a Muslim country that applies Islamic law, has a very sophisticated athletic program for women, and they have federations and competitions and everything. In Saudi Arabia, while these women will be playing in London, despite the support of the International Olympic Committee, their sisters, millions of them, are not allowed to receive physical education, which is a basic human right in schools and universities. So really we have what you called. It's really nothing but a propaganda.
Right. So before we go, what would have to change, it sounds like, with no physical education even in schools, to create an infrastructure where women would compete at the local and regional level and even begin to qualify for the Olympics in any realistic way? That's an infrastructure that doesn't exist at all. What would have to change in Saudi Arabia?
Well, what have to change is the Saudi government, and this part of the requirement we have asked the IOC for, that and the king must order that sports is allowed, women will be allowed to vote and drive, and they will receive their rights, political, social, and athletic rights. And we are actually wanted to tell you on the program that we are in the steps of suing the IOC in Switzerland based on Swiss law, and we will be successful at the end. We will ban Saudi Arabia.
So your mission would be to ban Saudi Arabia from competing in Rio?
Saudi Arabia must be banned from the Olympic Committee, the Olympic movement, and any international Olympic or international sporting event as South African apartheid regime was.
But because of this gesture, they've probably dodged a bullet for this time around, right?
But legally they can't, because we have the precedent and we have the Olympic charter to go by.
All right. He will fight on. Ali Al-Ahmed is founder and director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs, reacting negatively to a decision by Saudi Arabia to send two female athletes to the Olympics for the first time, one of them an American college athlete born and raised in Escondido, California. They'll be competing in track and in judo. Ali, thanks.
Thank you.
We wanted to get some perspective on all of this from our good friend, author and journalist Lynn Scherr, author of Swim, Why We Love the Water. She joins us from East Hampton, New York. Lynn, welcome back to the program.
Hi, John. Nice to be with you.
It's great to talk to you. Describe what Ali was referring to there, the apartheid regime of South Africa, criticized in the Olympic movement and banned from Olympic competition. How, first of all, significant was that to the Olympic movement, and how significant was it in driving forces of reform inside South Africa? And do you think it compares to what's going on in Saudi Arabia?
It was significant, and it does compare for the following reason. The IOC, the Olympic Committee, has never exactly been a bastion of either human rights or feminism. They have been pulled kicking and screaming into the first, the 20th, and now the 21st century. And he's right. What the Saudis did is nothing but propaganda at one level. No question about that. But on the other hand, I'm one of these people who believes the minute you open the door, the minute there's a crack, you're going to see change. It may be incremental, but there may be change beyond what they could have expected. These two young women are going to be at the Olympics. They are going to see things and do things they never would have, certainly not the one who's living in America. But the idea is they will be exposed to all different things. People will be exposed to them. Look, it's a start, and it's got to start somewhere. And it was probably done for the wrong reasons, but that doesn't mean it can't have decent consequences in the long run.
Yet one of the distinctions between the South African situation and this situation in Saudi Arabia, in South Africa under apartheid, blacks did compete in their own worlds, in their own,
right,
so-called homelands. And so there was this kind of parallel universe of athletics for blacks that once apartheid went away, there was this huge sort of athletic talent that was available on the scene. That's not the case in Saudi Arabia. There's virtually no infrastructure for women even to compete at any level.
No, and he's quite right that they have to set that up first. But again, look at the bigger picture. In the United States, we have this year, for the very first time, a woman, Terry McKeever, is the coach of the women's swimming for the U.S. team. We have never had a woman coaching women swimmers in the Olympics. Now, how backwards is that?
That's crazy.
It is nuts. Also, keep in mind that clothing, costume, will have a lot to do with it. You discussed the possibility of outfits being shaped to conform with a society's beliefs, and all that is fine. But the truth is, again, in swimming, which is the sport I at the moment care most about, you can't swim wearing a crazy outfit. You have to wear something that works for the water. And what these women wear to compete will send a message back home, if anybody gets to see it, as well as what it does for the rest of the world.
Although there are places in the world, particularly Afghanistan, where women are working to try to solve the bathing suit problem and to keep it in line with Islamic strictures. I mean, I don't know if they'll solve the problem.
There's no way to solve the bathing suit problem. If you're going to be a competitive swimmer, you have to wear something that is form-fitting and will reveal parts of the body. You can't wear bloomers.
Well, have a good swim out there in East Hampton today. Lynn Scherr, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Lynn Scherr, journalist and author of Swim, Why We Love the Water.